Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." What was causing her to work so hard? She was worried that something wouldn't be right. She was worried that maybe the lamb kebabs wouldn't be right.
Serving with your church, serving the body is good. But today, a real warning about serving and how it can become a distraction or something we do to avoid dealing with issues that might be causing us stress or anxiety. Please stay with us for part two of our study out of Luke 10, 28 through 42 with Robert Furrow.
One of the things that happens when we are born again, we talk about being transformed. One of the ways we're transformed is we want to do things for God. And we're encouraged by Jesus when he says, "Do your good works in front of men in such a way that when they see your good works, they glorify God." In other words, be careful that you're not doing your good works for people to go, "Man, you're awesome. Look at you." Do your good works in such a way that men see your good works and glorify your Father who is up in heaven. And so that's these three. So let's pick up this account. Let's start in verse 38. It says, "Now it happened that as they went, that he entered a certain village." Now we know that this village is Bethany. It's, if you go from where the temple was on the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, you go down to the Kidron Valley, then you go up onto the Mount of Olives, you go on the other side, that's where Bethany is at. And they just recently, within the last, I'm going to say year or so, discovered the village, which is great to me. I love that they're still discovering things that are in the Bible. For a long time, nobody knew where the village of Bethany was, but it is a recent archaeological discovery where this village was. And it says, "And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." So Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, which is a positive thing, right? And I think that Jesus will respond when you welcome him in. Have you welcomed Jesus into your home? Have you welcomed Jesus into your life? Have you welcomed Jesus into your interaction with your children? Now, here's the funny thing. Martha gets the short end of the stick. By the time we're done with this text, we're like, "Martha." You know, we're clucking our tongue at Martha, and we're going, "Go Mary," right? But Martha's the one who welcomed him into her house. And I think of Jesus responding to invitations. In Revelation 3:20, and I use this often in altar calls, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, and if you open up and invite, he'll come in. "I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me," which is a type of fellowship. But do you realize that that is actually written to the church? In Revelation 2 and 3, there are seven letters to churches, and so it's to the church that he says, "I'm standing at the door and knocking." What a sad thing that we could gather together and maybe have Jesus outside instead of here with us. He's looking for an invitation. And so it's one of the reasons that as I open up in prayer often, I'll say, "Lord, come into our lives. We thank you that we can meet you in this place. Do a work in us." Trying to just give him permission. Not like, and I often say that in the prayer, not like you need it, but I want him to have permission to do in my life whatever he wants to do, to be here with us. I think of Jesus on the Emmaus Road as he walked with those two disciples on the day of his resurrection, and he joined them incognito, and he walks down the road with them, and he talks to them about where he is in the law and the prophets, and when he gets to their house, the Bible says that he intended to go on. His intention was to walk by their home, but they were like, where are you going? Come and stay with us. It was late in the evening. Come into our house. They gave him an invitation. The Bible says that Jesus went in and dined with them, and that at the breaking of the bread, the first communion service after the resurrection, as far as we know, I think it was, it says in the breaking of the bread, he was made known. What a great communion message, by the way. In the breaking of the bread, he is known. And suddenly Jesus was known before them. And they were so excited that they got up and they ran back to Jerusalem again and told them, "We have seen the resurrected Lord." But it never would have happened had they never said, "Come and stay with us. On the opposite end, I think of the Gadareans. They had this demoniac who lived in cemeteries. They tried to chain him, but he would break chains. He ran around, the Bible says, chasing people, and he was naked, which is a terrifying thing to have in your community. Somebody doing that. And Jesus came and delivered him. And the Bible says that he was sitting with Jesus, clothed, which is an important part, and in his right mind. And the people from the surrounding region came to Jesus and surprisingly said, "Leave us." The Samaritans in John chapter 4 said, "Come into our village." And Jesus went and spent several days with the Samaritans. But the Gadarean region said, "Leave us." And the very next verse reads, "And Jesus got in a boat and left." Not only is he looking for an invitation, but if you tell him, "I don't want you in my life," then he won't force his way in. And that might have been the greatest tragedy for that region, that they had the Messiah there and they asked him to leave. Now, Martha, let's look at verse 39. It says, Martha invites Jesus in, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus's feet and heard his word. Now, this is good. Sometimes I think we rush into the presence of God with everything that we want to say. It's like, "I'm going to go pray," and you got your list, and you just go in and you start talking. The Bible says a couple of things that can help us. It says, "Be still and know that he is God." So just to start your prayers by sitting down and collecting yourself, listening to him, giving him an opportunity to speak first is a good thing. And the Bible also says, don't rush into the presence of God. We're so busy and we live in a world that's so fast. It's so easy for us to rush around and just kind of jump in. Here we are. All right, God, speak to me. Instead of just being quiet. I love sometimes, I'm not saying this is the only time to do it, but I love sometimes getting in my car and driving and just shutting everything off. And just sitting in God's presence. Just as if to say, "Lord, whatever you want to say to me." Mary was open. She was listening to the words of Jesus. Jesus was able to share anything he wanted to share with her. But Martha wasn't. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him. Mary went down and sat at his feet and listened to his word. The position of a disciple, the position of a learner. Martha approaches him. The word for approach here is an interesting word in the Greek. It means to stand over. So you see the scene, Jesus sitting down, teachers in their day sat down, Jesus sitting down, Mary at his feet, listening to his word, and here comes Martha. "Jesus." She takes that stance. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" And you know what I see here? I'm not a huge, birth order guy, but I see it, right? Sometimes you can see firstborns. You're like, "You're a firstborn, aren't you?" And sometimes you could see lastborns, right? And I don't know. I don't know who's older. I don't know, but I see Martha as the firstborn and Mary as the baby. And Mary, like, "I'm hanging out here with Jesus." And Martha, like, "Get up and help me." And so she says, "Don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone?" Sometimes we are more concerned about other Christians than we are about our own work before the Lord. "God, what about them? What about them? What about them?" Then she says, she gives Jesus some direction. Mary is sitting and learning from Jesus, but she's now going to tell Jesus to do something. "Therefore, tell her to help me." Tell her to help me. Sometimes we got our agenda when we rush into prayer instead of allowing God to speak to us. And I'm not saying that we don't pray for people, because obviously we should, right? But I'm saying sometimes it's in connection with where we are and what we're going through. And we know that she is distracted. In fact, I think of her working for the Lord and believing that this is good, right? And it is good. I mean, you always want to do things for God. But she has Jesus in her house and she could sit down in his presence. She could talk with him. She has an opportunity, but she's so concerned about serving him instead of being in the moment. There's a time to be in the moment. And there's a time to take pictures. You have anybody in your family that every time something good is happening, let's get a picture of this. Ah. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have that person that memorializes things, right? Because that's good. I'm just saying sometimes we're distracted from the moment that is tremendous and awesome. And that can often be the case with God. When I think about possibly serving God so much that you are no longer loving God, I think of the church of Ephesus and the letter that Jesus wrote to that church. I often have wondered if Jesus were to write a letter to us, Calvary Tucson, what would that letter say? When I study Revelation chapter 2, I get fearful that it might be this. In fact, I think about this when I think about Calvary Chapel in general. Because Calvary Chapel was born out of the late 60s, and there was a lot of acceptance of false teachings. There's a lot of weird things that were happening within churches. And Calvary Chapel came along and said, let's study the Bible. Let's not believe lies. Let's test to make sure things are so. Let's receive God's word with all joy, but let's study to see whether or not these things are right. And so Calvary Chapel started this line-by-line, verse-by-verse study through the Bible way back in the late 60s, and it has just spread. But listen, and I often think that we are, as a church, we started with great love towards Jesus. I'm sure the church in Ephesus did. But listen to what he says to them. He says to the church there, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience. That's two times he said to them, you have patience. And have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. You've continued to do the work. You haven't been weary. You are testing those who are false prophets. You found them to be liars. They were hanging on to the truth of the word of God. But then he says this, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. They had once loved him, but now they'd left it. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place. Now, what is this deal about Jesus removing the lampstand out of the church of Ephesus? In chapter 1 of Revelation, it says that Jesus was walking among the lampstands. The lampstands are the seven churches. Speaking of the churches in there, the number 7 is number for completeness. And so we have the complete church, and there's a section of the church that is diligent to do his work, but is loveless. And Jesus says, I will no longer walk in your presence. I'll remove the lampstand. That's the danger of becoming so distracted by service. Service is good. It's important for us to do work for God. And there are plenty of passages in the Bible where we could talk about what are you doing for God, and you don't want to spend your whole life doing nothing for him. But this is dangerous. The love that we have for him should be a deep and abiding love. And so Jesus responds to Martha in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. What was causing her to work so hard? She was worried that something wouldn't be right. She was worried that maybe the lamb kebabs wouldn't be right. The pita bread, whatever it was that she was serving, would not be right for Jesus, that she was distracted. Jesus tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. Jesus said, you can't change how tall you are by worrying, which tells us the kind of things we worry about. By the way, for men, if a man's 5'9", what's his favorite height? 5'10". And if he's 5'10", what's his favorite height? 5'11". Yeah, exactly. Especially when you're a young man. I was short of 6 foot. It's much shorter than 6 foot now. But I was short of 6 foot. I used to tell people, I'm 6 foot tall. And when I wore my boots, I was like 6'1". But you can't change your height by worrying. You can't change the color of your hair by worrying, Jesus said. Someone said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. We're so worried that we just miss out on making sure that we have some devotion. You are worried and you are troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Now that's interesting. He's saying that your devotion, your interaction, your worship to God is more important than your service to God. In fact, I think the most powerful ministry comes out of a right relationship with God. That's needed. This one thing is needed. It's needed for you to have that love, that devotion towards God. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. When you say, I'm going to make sure that I have devotion in my life, I'm going to set this aside, I'm going to make sure it happens. Hey, the older we get, the less time we have. When I was a youth pastor, I remember telling my kids that if they didn't make devotion to Christ a part of their regular life now, when they got married and have kids, it would not happen. And for you gals who are here who have two or three children, you know that's true, right? Time becomes rare, but she'd chosen the best part. And then he says, which will not be taken away from her. He was not willing to say, just because Martha wanted her to get up and help, you need to get up and help. He wanted her to stay there and be in that devotion towards him. Now, this message could have been called Mary, Martha, Devotion or Distraction. And in a very practical sense, may God encourage us that we would invite him in. I mean, Martha welcomed him over, but that we would invite him in and really enjoy his presence. The Bible talks about times of refreshing coming from the presence of God. What a way to think. We are refreshed when we are in his presence. We are given strength when we're in his presence. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we have this passage that speaks to us about the difference between being distracted in service, because it could be so easy for us to work for you and then to point around at other people and say, they're not praying like I pray. They're not witnessing like I witness. To put service on this pedestal and forget the devotion that we are to have for you. May we love you. May you draw us into your presence. May we not rush into your presence. May we now, even as we are ending the service, make that deep commitment of love and devotion to you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, for a couple of moments and your eyes closed. I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you have never invited Christ into your life. We come back to Martha welcoming Jesus into her home. And Jesus came in. And the Bible says that if you receive him, he will give you the right to be called a child of God to those who believe in his name. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. God loves you. He's fond of you. He wants you in eternity with him. And he says, unless you're born again, you can't go in. Every once in a while, I'll have someone who'll tell me, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just not a born again Christian, because they think the church is enough, or they think that being religious is enough, or they think that believing that God exists is enough. But none of those things are enough. You have to call out upon him. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. Someone said going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You have to say, Lord, I want you in my life. You have to receive him. And if you have never invited him in, then I want to give you that opportunity to do that today. And the Bible says that God draws you. No one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. So he's drawing you today. He's standing at the door and he's knocking and he's waiting for you to open the door and say, come in. And so if today you would like to invite Christ in and begin to live for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. I want to acknowledge your hand and pray for you. God bless you, sir. Under the balcony, that's great. God bless you, sir. By the back doors there, that's great. God's doing a work today, touching hearts, changing lives. Our God's good at that. All right, you can put your hands down. I saw your hand up there as well. And I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. And if you're online, pray this prayer with us as well, if you've given your life to Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. I'm excited for you. I'll never forget when I was 13 years old and I prayed a very similar prayer and how I changed. Suddenly I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. Suddenly I was interested in spiritual things. I was interested in spiritual things before, but there was the dark side of spiritual things. But when I gave my life to Christ, I was suddenly interested in the spiritual things of God. And God changed me, made me into a different person. And for those of you who have surrendered your life to Him today, you have begun an adventure as you have surrendered your life to Him today. There's a new believer's table along the wall. We want to give you a Bible, which is the milk and the meat of God's word by which you grow. And we want to give you a new believer's packet, which just helps you. You know, a lot of people make commitments in church and walk out and never follow through. What do you do now that you've surrendered your life to Christ? If you can't stop by the table or if you're online, you could send us an email, saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story. Tell us what God's done. You could also, if you have questions about salvation, you can write them there and people will respond to you. But we'll respond to you and help you out every way we can. You could also send us a text, ready for Jesus, to 94,000. The link that you get back this time will be our new believer's card. Click on that, fill it out, and we'll have people that will get in contact with you. We just want to make sure that we do everything we can that you get a good, solid start in your relationship with the Lord. Now, I'd like to pray for you guys today, and I'd like to pray for our devotion. I want to include myself in the prayer, but my devotion, your devotion, that we would make sure that we have a deep love for Him. And if we've gotten so busy or we are distracted by something else, that we would find ourselves loving Him, phileo, as He loves us as a friend, that we would be a friend of God. Would you guys raise your hands? Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And He uses the word men there as in, you know, the overall term, men and women. So women, raise your hands as well. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to thank You as we lift up our hands to You and pray that Your Holy Spirit is at work inside of us. I thank You that we have this account of these two sisters, one distracted by service and the other sitting at Your feet and learning Your word. Lord, help us that we would have that devotion in our lives, that we would know more from You, and that when You use us, it would come out of a life wholeheartedly committed to You. I also pray for those that may be grieving. You have carried our sorrow and our grief. You cried with Mary. And Lord, I pray that You would comfort those who are grieving now. I also pray, Lord, for those that need Your touch, healing. Maybe they're just down and they feel like they can't take anymore. Do a work, we pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself more in love with God than ever before this week. May He draw you in to a deeper relationship with Him.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.